meeting the plenty pot is not taken, and face-to-face, mandatory face-to-face. Gosh.
Antonio Harris is running.
Yeah, but think what it does for the economy for Geneva.
No, 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 it isn't Geneva, Ken. It isn't Geneva. You're right about the ITU overall. But the point is Marrakesh for 4 weeks.
Where is it going to be? In Greece?
Marrakesh. Marrakesh.
Oh, in Morocco.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Excuse me, Mr. Forsyth is joining.
Well, as long as you like lamb, you're in. You know, what else can I say?
And when I ask about what kind of connectivity they would have in the meeting hall, the ITU secretariat didn't know what I meant.
That's always comfortable to know. Well, I've heard that they're sending a significant number of hamsters to Marrakesh, so they'll probably, and they'll give each one of you a hand crank for your connectivity. See, as long as you, or a pedal like an old fashioned sewing machine. See.
Oh goodness! I was just trying to lift sympathy, Grant, because I'm going to Plenty Pot.
Oh, lucky you.
Oh.
Is it just the three of us on here? Hello, Ken.
Hello, Grant.
Yeah, we've got about 8 or 9
Hello,
members,
Philip.
I think.
Philip?
Just waiting for a call. Yeah?
How close are we to getting back to some sort of semblance of sanity in terms of scheduling names council calls? And that's not a reflection on you, but on just this whole process. Every week is getting to be a real problem.
Yeah,
making quorums.
I agree exactly.
This bodes for having three representatives in the future on the policy council, so I sure hope somebody out there is listening. Nudge, nudge, you know.
So do I.
Here, Ken.
Excuse me, Ms. Fortunova's joined.
I think some people may think it's a beauty contest until they see how over the last... 3 or 4 years, significant numbers of us have spent inordinate amounts of time in activities like this, and it sure isn't for beauty, you know.
Hello, everybody. Good morning.
Elizabeth, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Elizabeth.
It's August the 1st. I thought France was closed.
I don't know, Ken. Actually, I am outside of France, and I am taking care of my mom. I have difficulty to cough.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It is not necessary my vacation.
I understand.
If I happen to be cut from the call, my proxy goes to Oscar, just to be sure that
Your family's in, was it Poland or Hungary, Elizabeth? I apologize. I can't remember.
My mom is in Poland.
Yes.
Okay, we're just waiting for one more to hit quorum. In terms of the agenda, I was planning on a couple of changes. Under item 2, we've got summary of the last meeting. We also need to discuss sometime, as Ken was just mentioning indeed, the timing of our next meeting, which is currently scheduled 12th of September. Under item 3, besides approving the timetable for the election of NC chair, we also need to discuss possible board elections for the DNSO rep to the board, and we need to also confirm Jay Scott as the new chair of the UDRP task force. And that was all from me. Did anybody else have anything while we're waiting?
And I'm sorry, Philip, did you add, I had wanted to add just a the topic, what the status is of the need to have an election
for board, yes.
Excuse me,
yeah.
Mr. Tonkin's joining.
Yeah. Yes, Bruce Tonkin's
here now. Bruce, excellent. You're welcome. You're doubly welcome because you've now made us quorum, so we will start the meeting.
Philip, I'd like to make a quick announcement. I notified Glenn beforehand that I may have to leave into the call, and if so, I'll give my proxy to you, Bruce, please.
I may well have to leave, too. So.
Well, it sounds to me like we may not be able to make a two-hour call today, Philip,
okay.
So we might consider it later.
Yeah. Okay, anyway, let's kick off the call while we can, and approval of the agenda. I take it everybody's happy with that?
Yes, I made motion that we approve.
Splendid. Item 2, summary of the last meeting. They were circulated. Can I have somebody to propose adoption?
I'll make that motion.
Ken, thank you. A seconder for that?
I'll second that. Grant.
Grant, thank you very much. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Those against, please say no. Those abstaining, please say abstain. Fine, thank you very much. They are approved and can now be circulated. Marilyn asked earlier if we could swap around items 3 and 4, which I'm happy to do, to allow discussion on that central issue. So we move straight on to item 4, which is in two parts, both to do with ICANN reform. We have a revised proposed resolution on one part of that, and we have the opportunity to comment on the first report from the ERC task force. On the first item, let me talk a bit about that, as I was the one who had redrafted it. What I had done, based on the early resolution that I had proposed originally for one of our calls in July, further to discussion we had at the time on that call, input from various council members independently, and also a feeling from where the board is and the ERC, etc., I revised that to basically focus on one issue and one issue only, which is the nature of the number of representatives on the new GNSO council. And the resolution has what, five whereas clauses, which set out the status of where we are now in terms of the board resolution, Bucharest, but in particular what the board had said as its founding principles, fundamental issues for the implementation of the blueprint, in which it underlined geographic cultural diversity and a bottom-up process. And what I've done is subsequently phrased the resolution to say that we should have three reps, not two reps, on the new GNSO Council, to reflect those two concerns, saying clearly in terms of geographic representation that if you have three representatives, you succeed in having the majority of ICANN regions represented. If it's only two, you have only a minority of ICANN regions represented. And just in terms of our own experience on the Names Council, I think many constituencies have found that three representatives has been about right in terms of their ability to outreach to different regions of the world, bearing in mind different time zones, etc., and that is quite important if we're serious about a bottom-up process where we know we can actually get feedback in order to help our decision-making. And so that's the nature of the resolution. Before I reread it or do anything like that, let's open discussion, and let me start with a list. Who would like to comment on that?
Yeah, Ken. Go ahead, Marilyn.
I would.
I heard Ken. I heard Marilyn. Anyone else? Not for the moment. Okay. Who wants to start with those two?
Why don't you let Marilyn start? She was in before.
Okay, Marilyn.
I want to comment on the resolution, Philip, but I also would like to propose to the council that we put the resolution forward without prejudice to other comments on the blueprint, that as we continue to see the implementation papers, I think it is very possible that we may present further resolutions. So I just want to note that we should reserve that and not create an impression that this would be the only resolution that the council might put forward.
Teddy is joining.
And I just want to speak in support of the need to ensure there what we've been told in conversations with Joe and with others when we've had conversations about the staff, about the role of the nominating committee and with members of the board, is that don't worry about geographic diversity, quote unquote, the nominating committee will take care of that. I believe that the spirit of the principles of the white paper and that all of our bylaws, the existing bylaws of ICANN and all of our bylaws, require us to have geographic diversity so that we can ensure representation within our own constituencies. And I consider that extremely important. The representativeness is very important, the geographic diversity, the representation of other cultures and other perspectives is very important to ensure effective work of the Policy Council. So I would really lend my support to this and think it needs to be a real priority for us.
Who was that joining?
Roger Cogetti.
Oh, Roger. Okay. So I thought we heard you earlier. Thanks. That's fine. You're welcome, Roger. Ken, you're in the queue to speak.
I'd like to support the concept that has been brought forth in the motion that you prepared. I'm trying as hard as possible not to create any distractions in the process. At the same point in time, I think we need to have some sort of assurances that that we could have the kind of balance that we're talking about. I'm concerned about geographical diversity, but I'm also realizing that over the next year, and in spite of the fact that the blueprint calls for establishing formal secretariat support and financial support for those functions, there's going to be a significant amount of work that's going to need to be done. And I know the way that it's worked in the last 3.5 years now, and regardless, I know that three people, when you, no matter how hard you try, it's a stretch and a job for three people. To give it to two turns it into a somewhat Herculean task, and I just don't think that people realize how much work is involved in trying to stay abreast. Just staying up to date with constituencies and staying up to date with the various mailing lists and the topics, we all spend a significant amount of time doing this, and I just don't think we can afford to scale back to two people at this point in time. Thank you.
Can I select our intern, Tony Harris, here?
Yep,
and Tony Holmes after, please.
Tony Harris and then Tony Holmes. Okay, Tony Harris, go ahead.
I'd just like to say I agree entirely with both Marilyn and Ken, and I would stress the fact that from time to time we come up with new task forces, particularly the ones involved in WHOIS, and I understand also transfers, have had an inordinate amount of work to do, and three representatives, most task forces require a council representative to be on them, so I don't see how we can make it with just two.
Sure, thank you for that. Tony Holmes.
I was going to pick up on exactly the same point that both Tony and Ken have made. I think representation in times of busy commitment to policy formation is difficult at times with three. I think it's virtually impossible with two. And that needs to be recognised within this resolution as well. The point on diversity is fine, but I think that this point needs to be recorded in the same way.
Okay, thank you very much for that. Anybody else like to speak on this?
Elizabeth, just to echo and to join every comment which was said, it is extremely important to have three persons. There is a lot of work to be done, and both are important, geographic representation, but also the lot of work to be done.
Okay, thank you very much for making that an important point. Anybody else to speak? Well, we're moving along quickly, then I suggest I'll move that myself to put to a vote. Could I have a seconder for that vote?
I'll second it, Mr. Tompkins.
Sorry, thank you very much. I'll take a roll call vote. Does anybody want me to read any part of the proposal, or have you all seen it in detail enough now?
Can you just read it again for me, Philip?
I
haven't seen it, Philip. I don't know when you sent it.
Okay. It's the first part is as it was before. It's a series of whereases. I won't go through them again, but let me go through the substantive part of the proposal. Subject GNSO Council. The blueprints proposed two representatives per constituency fail the board's test of geographic and cultural diversity. With three representatives per constituency, the majority of ICANN regions are represented.
with two, the majority of ICANN regions are not represented. The blueprint's proposed two representatives per constituency fails the board's test of a bottom-up process. Experience has shown that three representatives improves a constituency's ability to outreach to multiple regions and so enhances and promotes a transparent bottom-up process. Without prejudice to further NC commentary on this issue, the Named Council resolves, therefore, to recommend the following implementation of the blueprint, without which ICANN will fail to take account of the above fundamental issues. There should be three representatives per constituency on the GNSO Council. That is the resolution. Let me take a roll call vote.
Philip, can I come back before you take the vote?
Me too, Philip, real quickly.
Okay, Tony Holmes and then Ken.
Carrie, yes. Also to speak, please.
Carrie, okay. Tony Holmes.
Thanks, Philip. Currently, as it stands, it still fails to recognise the point, I think, that Tony raised about the workload and the ability for this to work in a way that reflects and includes the views of all constituencies, which is yet another reason, in addition to the issue of diversity. And I believe we need now to insert some words to reflect that.
I'm trying to include something now in that second part about bottom-up process, because that's essentially a part of that.
I think some reference to the task forces and what they imply might be adequate also. I think the board are aware that task forces are doing some work.
I have a very simple comment, Philip. It's kind of like a friendly amendment. Rather than use the word are not represented, I would insert the word adequately represented. I hate to pick a fight with somebody that says, well, you have one representative from each one of the five regions, you are represented. That's not adequate.
The phrasing there, Ken, was the majority of regions are not represented.
Yeah, okay.
So that's it's not just some regions aren't represented or whatever. Yeah.
I just think that the real punch here is adequate representation and the ability to balance the workload effectively amongst the council members.
Yeah, I tend to support the idea of using the word adequate.
Okay. Experience has shown that I'm happy to incorporate that. I'm just thinking through phrasing for this other point.
Philip, it's Marilyn. I just want to come back, folks. Whatever language we use, and maybe adequate captures it, but it has to be geographic representation within the constituency. Because I think what we're all in agreement on, those who've spoken so far, is that, you know, you could have one representative from each of the five regions spread across the number of constituencies. That is not adequate representation from within each constituency.
Yeah, I think that's a good
that's
point
a very
as well,
good
because
point,
the answer is basically the nominating committee can fill up the remaining slots from different regions, but you're already trying to make the point that the constituencies don't have adequate geographic representation.
That's well taken.
Yes.
Registrars are a good example of that because we now are up to approximately 160 registrars from five different continents, and having two people representing them definitely creates a problem there.
Okay, I think I can factor in all those amendments. After the first sentence, let me now read it as changed. The blueprints propose two representatives per constituency, fail the board's test of geographical and cultural diversity within the constituency.
Excuse me, Mr. Gregory, is this joining?
With three representatives per constituency, the majority of ICANN regions are represented. With two, the majority of ICANN regions are not adequately represented. The blueprints propose two representatives per constituency, fail the board's test of a bottom-up process. Experience has shown that three representatives improves the constituency's ability to perform the various duties of the council, to adequately staff the task forces of council, and to outreach to multiple regions. And so this enhances and promotes a transparent bottom-up process. Without prejudice to future NC commentary on this issue, the Names Council resolves, therefore, to recommend the following implementation of the blueprint, without which ICANN will fail to take account of the above fundamental issues. There should be 3 representatives per constituency on the GNSO Council. All happy with that?
Might I make a remark, Tony Harris, here?
Tony, you too.
My concern is I don't hear it sufficiently stressed, the importance of sharing, as Ken said, of having a good share of the workload. There's nothing said. It would be very very difficult to achieve this. You know, some words to that effect. It seems a little light.
Instead of me saying to perform the duties of council, let me rephrase that to share the workload of council members.
Well, do we get the message across that if we only have 2 people, it will be difficult to keep up the rhythm of work which we currently have?
That's in the phrasing, because we're saying that experience has shown that we need that.
All right.
Is the spirit of the phrasing there? Okay, if we're happy with that rewording.
Carrie, I'd ask for the word too, please, Philip.
You'd ask for?
I'd ask to speak also.
Okay, Carrie, I might beg your pardon, you did. You want this? Please go ahead.
I wonder, are we also making it perfectly clear that this is not the totality of the commentary that we might have on the implementation?
Yes, Carrie, I think we've got a phrase in there saying without prejudice to future
NC
commentary.
That's not in the text as I have in front of me.
No, indeed. It is an amendment made. Mallory made the same point as you.
Okay.
Let's move to a vote on that. I'll take a roll call vote. And I'll start with Marilyn. Your vote, please. Yes, if you're in favor. No, if you're not.
Yes, and I will be dropping off shortly after this.
Okay, Grant.
Yes.
Thank you. Harold.
Yes.
Ken. Ken Stubbs. Maybe on mute, I'll come back to you. Bruce.
Yes.
Elizabeth.
Yes.
Tony, Tony Harris.
Yes.
Greg?
Yes.
Tony Holmes?
Yes.
Roger? Roger Cacciotti, I'll come back to you. Carrie?
Yes.
Jordan?
Oops, sorry, on mute. I'm going to abstain.
You're abstaining, okay. I'm going to come back to Ken Stubbs for your vote.
Affirmative.
And I'm coming back to Roger Cacciotti for your vote. Okay, have I missed anybody who's joined that I haven't noted? Anybody shouting? Nobody on the list. Roger Cacciotti, last time, chance? Okay, no vote recorded for Roger. 9, 10 with...
I have to ask Glenn a question. Philip Greventy was supposed to send a proxy out. Did you receive one?
No, I've received no proxy from him up to now. I'll look on the list...
If you get one during the meeting, please let me know, because if his proxy comes in, I will vote it, okay?
Fine, Ken.
Thank you.
Okay, that's fine. Anyway, that vote's recorded. We will call it, and that vote passes. Thank you very much. And Glenn, I'll email you with those changes I made a note of.
Thank you.
That brings us on to 4.2. Which is commentary on the preliminary report of the ERC Policy Development Task Force. Now, on the Names Council, myself and Bruce have both and Marilyn are both on that group.
This is Bruce Tonkin.
Yes.
Can I just ask a question? I've been a bit remote on travelling the last few days, but I couldn't get onto a call. I think it was for Wednesday morning. Did that happen?
No, that call didn't happen.
Right,
okay. So to my knowledge, that group has only had 2 calls, and I was on the second one of those.
Okay, then I was on both, yeah.
So you're not... And the only output that there's been so far is the output that's been circulated to council.
Yep, okay.
The essence of this first piece of work, which was done rather rapidly, I think, was just to sort of lay out a structure for what was described as high-level topics, those sort of principles upon which perhaps policy development process should be based, and then laying out a framework for that. And the task force will be moving on to doing some more procedural stuff in terms of the timelines for that. But I just thought it was worth raising
this document, and in particular those 1 to 6 high-level topics and the 1 to 7 framework, to see if any council members wanted to make a comment of approval, disapproval, or whatever. It's not something we need to take a vote on, but I thought something that at least was worth us.
Philip, maybe you could spend just a half a minute between you three and kind of go over what you understand the timeline to be and what you're trying to accomplish in, let's say, the next 30 days, because we have a decision to make as to whether or not we might want to have another Names Council call sometime between now and the 12th of September. To me, the principal reason for having a Names Council call, other than the votes, which to ratify a vote or something like that, it would be to review in depth specific issues that would be brought out by the this committee. So maybe you can give us some insight there on that.
Philip, it's Marilyn. I am going to drop off in just a minute. Can I just make a point before I do that about the work of the task force and the
Please go ahead.
Can I let Bruce and Philip respond? I just want to express a concern that is on my mind about the work. I thought the task force was going to be able to do, and we are now engaged in a bit of a discussion within the task force about whether, in fact, that is, quote, our role. It's my view that we have learned a lot about the process of policy development within the Names Council, who has, after all, the ASO and the PSBO actually engaged in an effort to engage to do policy development. And I'm not seeing an effective way for us right now, broadly, to see that learning reflected into the new recommended process for policy development. I hope that is going to change in the short work that this task force is doing, but it has a very short life, and I think it may be necessary to take that step in follow-up to the work of the task force. And I'll let Bruce and Philip comment a bit more on the discussion that's gone on in the task force on that topic. I'm going to go to a different call. I apologize. I'll be back as soon as I can. Proxy goes to Grant and then to Philip.
Thank you, Marilyn. Thanks for that. Bruce, do you want to make any commentary?
Yeah, I guess my commentary, I think Marilyn perhaps missed the last call that was held, but one of the things that I found interesting between the first call we had and the second call we had, in the first call we were really talking about membership of task forces and how we would try and widen the membership and allow different groups to participate in the task force process. Then in the second call, there was really a shift which seemed to be coming from the top down, more or less saying that more of the work of the task forces should be done within the Names Council itself, a bit like what we did with the comments and work we did on the ICANN reform process, and that the task forces themselves shouldn't be making direct recommendations as they did for WLS. And then the issue was, well, then it doesn't matter about the membership of task forces. You could have a task force with one member, if you like, because the representation issues were dealt with at the Names Council itself. So I thought that was quite a big shift between the first and the second call, because I participated in both calls. And I'm sort of getting the feeling that there's definitely a driver from the top down saying that the processes that we currently use have to change in some way, because the way they're working at the moment isn't acceptable. But I think I'd echo some of Marilyn's comments that we seem to be throwing away some of the lessons that have already been learnt, and some of the comments people have already been making about the fact that you've only got a limited number of people trying to do many things. And the issue I had is, let's assume you had no task forces and everything was done within the Names Council itself, you end up with a very serial process. In other words, you can only ever deal with one issue at a time, and each issue itself perhaps takes from 1 to 2 months. The task forces do allow us to work on a few things in parallel, but that's kind of my comment.
Can I make a comment, someone?
Yes,
yeah. I'm sorry, somebody's rustling papers in the background there. I'll wait till you get done there. It would seem to me, based on the proposal that was just approved by the council, that we have a significant contradiction going. Let's reduce the work of the task forces themselves and put that burden back on a smaller names council. I don't think so. I think that our smaller policy council. If we're going to be reducing the work of the task force and encouraging more of this work to be done within the policy council, then that definitely speaks to maintaining a level that allows the policy council to adequately address the tasks and projects that could be put before it in the future.
Yeah, and the other issue is the task force should be fact-finding, and that the consensus formation itself should happen in the Names Council. In other words, the task force just gathers lots of public comments and comments from other groups and presents, you know, I guess a large document that has lots of comments, and then the Names Council then has to distill the consensus from that, which in itself is, you know, requires quite a bit of work at the Names Council.
Philip, can I get in the queue here?
Yeah, Andrew, how?
A couple of things. One is, Bruce, could you elaborate a little bit on what those at the top, as you put it, are thinking is wrong with how the Names Council is functioning at the moment?
Well, that wasn't explained, Harold, by... I didn't get that explanation. I just think that the feeling I'm getting is that what is wrong, perhaps, is people think that the Names Council is too slow and spends a lot of time talking about process and not a lot about real issues. And I think the comments are really already in Stuart Lynn's original paper. You know, if you read the comments he has on the policy formation process, I think that's more or less what the comments they're addressing, or the shortcomings they're addressing in ICANN as a whole.
My own sense, frankly, is that a lot of this is fighting the last war and, in fact, getting in the way of useful work. I mean, just from my own observations, is, in fact, the work that has been going on, now that the process issues were generally settled prior to this exercise by the board, at least at the Names Council level, you know, the processes are maturing and there is work happening, and these are complex issues which take a while, and I feel a touch sorry for those of you guys on the policy perhaps, or whatever, who have to explain this to people. But the plain fact is that unless, you know, we're just going to make things up as we go along, you know, it's going to take a couple of months to settle difficult issues. And throwing this back on the Names Council is not going to make it any shorter unless people are willing to sacrifice the quality of the decision-making process.
Yeah, Harry, it's an excellent point. I mean, one of the concerns that I'd shared to the ERC group was, fine, I'm happy that in the first communication they outline essentially what they're describing as procedures, which is the document we see in front of us in terms of the high-level sort of ideas, and then some timelines on top of that. That's relatively simple. But indeed, we shouldn't forget the learning that we have up to date. And if you don't, to my mind, set your at least your standards, which you can agree to go away from when that's appropriate, for how you set up task forces, committees, groups, whatever we want to call them, to deal with issues in advance, you will naturally spend time and. Typically, policy council meetings have meant telephone time, debating those issues and duplicating that debate over time. And that struck me as being wasteful and also contradictory to the board's keenness, obviously, to have as short a timeline as possible.
Yeah, and I think that's right. I don't think the ERC committee is saying anything against that. And I think the key issue there is really that we do actually have a documented procedure that people can refer to and know what the procedure is. Because what I find amongst people that are not so heavily tied into groups like the Names Council is they really just don't even know how to start if they do have an issue and how they should progress with that issue.
Yeah. On this point, which most of us seem to be converging on, the last discussion that, or suggestion, which is coming from Joe Sims, who's participating in this group as well, Whether that will you know, get your first or second document out in terms of this high level plus a timeline, and then perhaps add on these thoughts later. And it may be that is what's going to happen, because I think at the moment Rita Rodan, who is sort of chairing this group as draft person, is going to be doing that, and I suspect that's going to be a document that will go to the board and be relatively easy to agree with, because it doesn't address some of these issues of process that we're now on.
I would thought, but I would just make two more one more point related to this, which may be worth reminding the committee, which is that, as I mentioned before, our procedures have actually matured considerably, and to the extent that they are going to engage or require radical restructuring, that is going to mean re-arguing these things again. I would, you know, just frankly ask the committee, you know, to take a look at the product of the last 6 months rather than the 2.5 years that it took us to get to the last 6 months, and say, do they really want to upset the apple cart and make us go through that formation of procedures process all over again?
As a comment, one I'm certainly happy to take back to this committee.
But part of that, Harold, though, is that we should probably document those procedures, because I'm not exactly clear on what they all are as well.
Most of our procedures are documented
already,
so we've always got...
Okay, that's my shortcoming then. I think, you know, perhaps forwarding some of that documentation to the ARC and discussing some of that might be more worthwhile than starting from a green slate that we are now.
Well, yes, to say, look, this is the current procedures, either we think it's good or we think it's useless, and if we think it's useless, then you know, we can rationalise why it's useless and what can be changed.
Yep.
But indeed, it's rather better than pretending you can do it all by starting with a clean sheet of paper, I think. Okay, it's in terms of answering Ken's question on timing and need for the next NC meeting, let's perhaps just do that in relation to this topic, and the answer is I don't know the need that the NC is going to have to act to something, but our next scheduled meeting is 12th of September, which is quite a while away. So what might be an idea perhaps is to see if we can now perhaps agree on a date a little earlier than that as a provisional time. That we could have a meeting if indeed there is something that we need to react to, and if there isn't, then we'll simply not have one.
Philip, can I propose a date?
Yep.
All right, I'm going to propose August the 29th as a provisional date. That would be approximately 2 weeks prior to the
other one. Yep. Yeah,
I recognize it's the end of August, but it's before the Labor Day weekend in the United States, I would assume that in Europe, most people are kind of working their way back by that time in the month. Maybe I'm incorrect.
Yeah, I think that's quite a good proposal. Is everybody else happy with that? As a provisional date, that's the 29th of August, as a Thursday. Okay, I'm not hearing voices against. Glenn, please take a note of that. We'll have that provisionally, and we'll call that meeting if it looks like we need one. If not, our current meeting is 12th of September. I'm just going to move and take the rest of those items that we abandoned under 3 first, so we can do those matters, and then we'll move back to any discussions of reform to finish off if we need to do that. Under item 3, timetable for the election of Names Council Chair. Glenn, you have circulated a timetable to us. Can you just quickly take us through that?
Yes. Let me get it up on the screen, sorry. Get it off.
While Glenn's doing that, Philip.
Yep.
Real quick agenda item. There was a call out for the budget committee for approval of some invoices, which, to the best of my knowledge, the Budget Committee has approved. I know Roger's not on the call, but I know that we have other members of the Budget Committee here, namely Elizabeth, myself, and I cannot remember who else. I apologize. Is there any formal action that the council needs to do in order to get these people paid? I'd like to make sure that nobody is held up for any reason, because...
Not to my knowledge, because all the amounts are below our limit of $5,000.
All right, good. I just wanted to make sure nobody took off on holiday without having
I approved it, Ken.
Okay.
Tony Harris.
Elizabeth here. I believe that Ken is correct. We had to approve the expenditure which was above $5,000 if it was the bill for teleconferences, and I do believe we all agreed to pay for it. And I am very lucky that Ken is bringing it this issue to the table, because we need to pay it.
I think it would be a good idea to do that if possible, but maybe Glenn can. If there's anything formally that needs to be done, let's get the formality out of the way. We have enough people, I think, still left to do that.
Yep, indeed. Okay, perhaps, Glenn, you could take it on a second task. Are you up there with
yes,
the...
Yes, yes, I'm there.
Yep, okay.
All right, shall I go through the NC chair election?
Please do.
Agenda. Friday, that's tomorrow, August, to Thursday, the 8th of August, that's next week. 15 hours would be a nomination period. I'll send out papers for nomination. Then Friday, the 9th of August, to Tuesday, the 27th of August, is the voting period. The vote closes then at 12 o'clock UTC. And the 27th, the votes would be counted and sent to the watchdog committee for approval. And then if we have the names council teleconference on the 29th, the vote could be confirmed.
Okay, fine. If not, it would be at the beginning of the next one. Okay, so essentially
three weeks for people to vote on holiday, away, and everything else.
Okay, so we've got a week's nomination followed by 3 weeks' chance to vote. Is essentially the proposal. Is everybody comfortable with that?
Sounds fine to me.
How
old are you?
Now, how does the voting work exactly? Is this one of those...
Voting will be... initial voting will all be by email, and you'll get one of these standard vote bot, whatever it's called, voting forms that you'll get and have to return in a certain way. So that's all then recorded automatically.
Standard ballot, it's not one of these, sort of select your number one, number two, and number three choice, whatever they call that methodology. This is just a standard ballot.
Oh, I see, yes. Our voting has been simple majority voting, indeed, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Other questions? No?
I hope we are going to have candidates.
Yes.
That would be useful.
Now, is there? I seem to recall that there was an issue last time. There was a bylaws change that was made about term limits or something. Is there any restriction on who can be nominated?
The person nominated has to be a Names Council member, and has to be nominated by a Names Council member, and they are being nominated for a period of office of 6 months.
Okay.
Any other questions? Nope, I take it we're all happy with that timetable. Glenn, thank you very much for that. Please go ahead and implement it.
Thank you.
That brings us on to, let's just do item C quickly on the three. This is, we congratulate Jay Scott, who's not on this call, who has been elected as chairman of the UDRP Task Force by members of the UDRP Task Force. And I'd just like us to have a vote of affirmation for that role, as is our usual practice.
I'd like to propose that we affirm the election of J. Scott Evans as the chairman of the UDRP Task Force.
Thank you very much, Ken. Let's just take a vote of acclamation for that. To those in favor, please say aye.
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 Aye. As against, please say no.
I will add, as the defeated candidate that I am particularly grateful that Jason.
And abstentions, I need 4-4. No, Brian, that's a universal vote. Well done, Jay Scott. We look forward to great things from that task force.
Is that because Harold has graciously volunteered to take over monitoring the GA list? Is that? Oh, what a wonderful and caring thing for you to do, Harold.
I didn't notice by putting my name up for that.
And now I guess it's almost to the point where you might also consider monitoring the EC Discuss list. It's getting kind of interesting as well.
So that brings us on also to other elections and board elections. Now, the question has been raised, it was raised a couple of weeks ago by our own Secretariat, Glenn, to say the time is upon us ordinarily for electing the one board representative per year that we do on the Names Council as a DNSO rep to the board. And the term of office of Alejandro De Santi is up for a renewal. And in ordinary times, we would about now be launching a process for that election also. Because of the reform process, there was some uncertainty about whether that would be a sensible thing to do or not at this time. And I had sought some clarification from ICANN staff on that a couple of weeks ago and have yet to receive a reply. And as it was raised to be on the agenda of this meeting as well, perhaps what I'll suggest to do is I will repeat that request and do that on behalf of the council. Other comments and questions on this?
Might I make a suggestion, Tony Harris? I would phrase this new request to staff under the terms that if we do not hear to the contrary, we would proceed according to the bylaws.
Yep, I think that's probably a sensible suggestion, so indeed we are not stuck by lack of answer.
So this is Harold. The other thing I would add is I think that the ASO has gone ahead and had and selected a new representative. It looks like the other supporting organizations are moving ahead, under the current system.
Okay.
Philip?
Elizabeth?
Yes,
Ken and Elizabeth. Ken first?
I'll defer to Elizabeth, then I'll jump in after her.
Elizabeth.
Thank you. I confirm that other supporting organization did elected a new board director to replace the former one. Rob Bloxa is going to be replaced by Mohamed Diop, and I've been asking also to get some information about ICANN reform. I understand that it is still a very open issue, and I do believe that in such a situation we shall proceed according to the bylaws which we have today and start election process.
Okay, thank you for that. Then I will I will email them, perhaps stating that intent to ICANN staff, and we will implement that unless we hear anything suggesting to the contrary, in which case I'll raise it by email to council. And I think that, to my mind, completes item 3. So let's just return to 4 on ICANN reform. Were there any other points that people wanted to make, in particular to our general input or our input in particular to the ERC policy development group? Where we had concluded in our discussion was that the various points that had been made on discussion, I or Bruce is going to be happy to carry forward and put into that group, and we will keep pressing the point we were saying earlier that we felt that deciding on the nature of your task forces or the options for your task forces in advance seems to be a sensible way forward.
I have a suggestion. Can I get in line, Tony?
Yes, Tony, then you're first in the queue. Anybody else to speak?
Well, this is Ken Stubbs. I deferred to Elizabeth, but I would like to make one real quick comment. That
oh, Ken, I am sorry. Yes, I
oh, that's all right. It won't, it won't take very long. It's just that as an accountant, I'm used to the concept of a going concern, and I think it's important for us to remember that we're still operating administering responsibilities within a going concern. And even though there is a clear mandate for change and evolution here, we don't stop dead in our tracks and put our thumbs in our mouths. So please keep that in mind in any tenure that we use in dealing with the elections in the future.
Yep. I think that's very, very helpful.
And also, I'm going to have to leave the call in a few minutes. I'm going to give my proxy to Bruce. I don't.
Yeah, I think I'll be leaving in a few minutes as well, Kim.
Okay.
I think I'm
going to
hear the remaining comments.
Maybe we'll all be leaving in a few
minutes. We may be closing the call in a few minutes anyway.
Yeah.
So,
okay, I'll hang on till the hour, end
okay.
of the hour.
It's fine. That's another 10 minutes to go. Tony Harrison, you were...
Yes, I'll be very brief.
Form issue.
I think one thing that we should be asking the board, referring to the board structure of the board of directors, is Section 6 of the bylaws on the board of directors structure, which is international representation, states very clearly that at least one citizen of a country located in each of the geographic regions shall serve as an at-large director on the board at all times, and also no more than one half of the total number of at-large directors serving it at any given time shall be citizens of countries located in any one geographic region. Of course, they will not be talking about at-large directors anymore, but they will be, I don't know what they call them now, selected directors or nominating committee directors or whatever the term is. My question would be, is this same bylaw to be applied to these eight directors who will be elected from a nominating committee?
Yes, that's a good question to be raised.
Or if it is not, what would be their what would be the policy they will implement to replace this?
Now, is there a another task force of the ERC thinking about those issues? I can't remember how many there are now. But then maybe, if not, it should be one. Perhaps we ask directly of the task force itself, or maybe of its chairman, Alejandro. So fine, let's make a note, perhaps Glenn, then, to phrase that question on behalf of the council, so we can then respond to the answer if necessary. Thank you, Tony. Any other comments or suggestions?
Yes. I take it from point... I don't know if this is worth pointing out or not, but point number 7,
of the basic framework you're looking at, are you?
Framework, yes.
Yep.
Re-emphasizes, again, it seems to me, and you know, I don't have an objection to it, but I do note it because it is something that we have discussed here, that we have now shifted from an understanding that the DNSO is the primary policy-making body with the expectation that the board will approve those policies to one in which the DNSO is making recommendations and the board acts on those recommendations as it sees, as it perceives should, rather than with an expectation that it will follow the recommendations from the DNSO.
I think certainly that is the steer that we're seeing coming down, yes.
There's been some debate about that within the Names Council. My own thought is if we're going to move to that position, officially, that's fine, but I do think that it should be a conscious rather than an unconscious decision.
Yeah, rather than a drift. Yeah, indeed. Point.
Well, if that's going to be the case, maybe the this is just a joke. Maybe the board members should start the task forces.
Well,
I personally have to tell you, I really think from a point of view of what ICANN is going to and not going to be able to accomplish, that the board is taking much too much on itself, and I think does not You know, they're either going to have a lot more money to hire a lot more professional staff, or they're going to have to again, because I just think that they are on themselves for any human being to do, particularly as a part-time volunteer endeavor.
Yeah. I think you're right. I mean, I think there's a danger that they're trying to come up with five or six solutions to one or two problems and have them all happening at the same time, rather than perhaps realize that one or two solutions to one or two problems may be all you need. I think in particular the staffing issue, which has now been endorsed, is going to help considerably in the whole process. Anyway, other comments on reform before we move to a close?
Hello, this is Alexander.
Yes. Alexander, yes.
I would just ask the members of the task force to consider role that the General Assembly is going to have before finalizing the policy development process, because I think it would be a bad idea to just tag on some role afterwards, because we will end up with the problem that the Names Council has a quite defined role and the GA just becomes a discussion mailing list.
Sure. So, Alexander, it's Bruce Tonkin speaking. What role do you think the GA should have? What would you like to see?
I think I could resend. We had Thomas Wessler and I send a short discussion paper about what possible perspectives the GA could bring to policy development. I could resend that to the Names Council, as Thomas has sent it a while ago.
Yeah, no, I think that was indeed circular. I think the question maybe is something we need to phrase differently, because my understanding of the blueprint is that their definition of General Assembly is a rather narrower body than it is at the moment. But in addition, there's this whole new idea for public outreach, public comment, and indeed a manager in charge of that whole process. And now that part of it is, I believe, the subject of another of these ESE task forces, which I think Becky Burr may be chairing.
Yeah.
And it may be, I don't know who else, if anybody on the council is on that task force, but it may be the feedback from that would help answer some of Alexander's questions as well.
Is there, in fact, anyone on that task force other than Becky Burr? I'm serious, because I saw she posted a framework, but there was no posting of the composition of the task force other than Becky's name at the top.
Philippe?
Yes. Elizabeth, go ahead.
Thank you very much. I'm very sorry, because I don't have my documents with myself, and I do not recall exactly if the new GNSO is going to have a constituency of individuals. And if such is the case, the current General Assembly, where is the place the people write very often as individuals, could foresee to become one way or another this constituency of individuals. I'm very sorry, I don't have my document. I don't remember if there is a place for individual constituency within GNS.
My recollection is that the initial proposal is that the constituency should be the initial six, because the CCs won't be in the GNSO. But that there's this idea of a sort of constituency in formation, I forget the exact phrasing.
Yes.
And in there, the first example given was precisely this of individuals.
But it currently is only a proposed provisional constituency, according to the blueprint, so
okay.
It's no official status.
Right. That's the answer, Elizabeth.
I'm going to have to drop out now, Philip. This is Bruce Tonkin.
Okay, Luke. Fine. In that case,
to move that we close the meeting. I don't know whether
yep.
we have any.
I am points. Very much in favor.
Okay. No, I think that sounds fine. I'm happy to take on board the few comments we had, and we'll try and factor those through to where it will be known. We will have a meeting definitely on the 12th of September, and maybe on the 29th, if needs be, and that will be emailed in advance. That's going to take place. So, thank you very much, everybody, for attending.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very
thank
much.
You.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Merci.